Yo, he's back. Yes, I'm very pleased to have Brian Hughes from Shenfield Solicitor Rayner Hughes back with me once more. And the last couple of times you were here, Brian, you were looking at the potential for disputes resulting from shared drives and boundary areas. And this time you're going to be looking at the problems resulting from noise. Now, we all know that noise can be a big problem, especially if caused by somebody else. But what's the legal definition of noise, Brian?
Well, at its most basic, it's any unwanted sound. It can occur unexpectedly, be too loud or too repetitive. At certain decibels, it can be hazardous to health, with low-frequency noise as damaging as loud noise. Noise accounts for most of the complaints that local authorities and the Environment Agency receive about environmental pollution, and it is, of course, a major source of stress. Indeed, ever since the 1890s, lawyers have inserted clauses into conveyances and leases of property on estates or in blocks of flats, requiring landowners and tenants not to cause nuisance or annoyance to other neighbouring owners or tenants.
So at what point does noise become a recognised nuisance?
Well, unfortunately, this is somewhat difficult to determine with accuracy. The law defines a nuisance as unlawful interference into a person's use or enjoyment of land or of some right over or in connection with it. But the process of evaluating this is often somewhat subjective. But the volume, time, and frequency of noise are determining factors. For noise to amount to a statutory nuisance, it must be prejudicial to health or a nuisance which is sufficiently serious for an abatement notice to be served by the local authority.
All right, well, let's take a look at some specific potential problems. What about dogs that constantly bark, howl or whine?
Well, if they disturb you and, for example, cause you to leave sleep, you can complain to a dog warden at your local authority.
But it could happen during the day, so can you do anything about it then?
Well, you can complain because...
To whom?
To the local authority.
Oh, really?
Right. But, yes, your chances of success are less during the day than if they keep you awake all night.
So I would guess that this would only be realistically considered in extreme cases. But what about noise created by builders working too close to your property?
Well, much would depend on what steps the builders have taken to mitigate the noise levels to the best of their ability. Only if they have been negligent can an abatement notice be served.
All right, well, let's turn our attention to the issue of noisy neighbours themselves. What's the best approach?
Well, as always, the direct approach is best, and an informal chat over the garden fence is likely to be the most effective. Being calm and reasonable will always serve you better than anything more confrontational. The neighbours may not even realise that they're causing a problem and may be amenable to giving you notice of any future potentially noisy events they may have planned.
Oh, that's good. So you know to go away, maybe.
Yeah.
All right, well, that will probably work 9 times out of 10, but what if it doesn't?
In such situations, the first port of call should probably be your local Citizens Advice Bureau, or you could contact the Home Owners Alliance or speak to a solicitor, all of whom will doubtless recommend mediation in the first instance. If you do wish to make a complaint to a local authority, you must do so in person, by telephone or by email. Your name and address should normally be kept in strict confidence by the local authority and not released to the person causing the noise problem. If, however, the local authority decides to take action, you should be prepared to give it a statement and attend court to give evidence. But note that if it does go to court, this could result in future problematic relations with the neighbours concerned.
I can imagine that.
Yeah. Well, moreover, any noisy neighbour complaints that are found to be valid will also go on record and will have to be disclosed by your solicitor or conveyancer when you sell your house.
Yeah.
Of course, there are some instances where the local authorities decide not to intervene in which your only alternative would be to take the neighbours to court if the noisy neighbours own the property next to your own. If, however, you're living in a flat or a block of flats, the position may be different. Many leases contain clauses about not disturbing neighbours with noise, and many leases require tenants to soundproof their flats. Notifying the landlord of the breach of these clauses in the lease can assist. and a complaint to the landlord should result in a warning letter to the noisy tenants. A landlord's warning can be effective in making your neighbours take noise seriously.
OK, so have you got any examples which you've had with your own clients?
Yeah, well, funnily enough, looked at noise from the opposite point of view. I once had clients who came to see me about a complaint they'd received from their neighbour. One of my clients was a piano teacher and gave lessons in the lounge of their house, which was semi-detached. The sound of the piano went right through the dividing wall. I told them the complaint was reasonable and that they should sound insulate the dividing wall. They did so, and the problem was solved.
All right, so to sum up, what's your advice, Brian?
Well, my advice is to stay cool. Choose your moment to bring a noise problem to your neighbour's attention. Seek advice before you take any action which is likely to cause you long-term stress. Mediate if you can, and only complain to the local authority if being reasonable doesn't work. If the local authority decides not to help you and recommends mediation which is either rejected or turns out to be unsuccessful, then you're left with taking your neighbours to court. This can be expensive, but could well be successful if you can produce sufficient evidence of stress and damage to health in terms, for example, of loss of sleep.
But once you've done that, as you said earlier, you're going to have to disclose it if and when you sell your house, unless those neighbours move away, presumably.
Well, you're going to have to disclose it anyway. But
well, even if they've moved?
Well, you'd say there was a noise problem, but it's gone.
Right, but you would have to do that anyway.
I think so, yeah.
All right, OK. Well, look, thanks very much indeed for that. And hopefully you're going to be coming back in a month or so's time and you're going to be talking about wills. Is that right?
Yes, I'm going to talk about the need to make wills and what happens if you don't.
Fair enough. Thanks very much indeed. Good to see you again. Talking to Brian, and we're tidying up. And he's suddenly throwing in a curveball about fines. So come on, Brian, what's that?
Well, I was just saying that from the noisy neighbour's point of view, it's obviously better than being found to have caused a statute nuisance to mediate and try and sort it out, because an abatement notice can carry a fine of up to £5,000 for domestic premises,
yes,
or £20,000 for industrial or commercial premises. That's quite an incentive, isn't it?
It is rather an incentive, absolutely. Fair enough. OK, thanks very much for chucking that one in.